right now, it's time for the other side. We've got Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, here in the studio joining us again today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So before we get started, we've got a couple of things to talk about today. One more plug for the Second Amendment rally, which is coming up on Saturday, right?
That's right.
We've got a story running about it today.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
That it's coming up, yeah. But yeah, what's going on with that?
So it's going to be the Saturday, as you said, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. At the Old County Courthouse in downtown Hillsborough. Mm-hmm. If anybody listening is interested, please come out. I think it'll be a really fun event. We have a lot of speakers, so that's going to be kind of the main focus. And going to have Mark Robinson there. He's pretty notable Second Amendment advocate from Greensboro. So it'll
awesome.
Be good.
10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Very cool. So let's start by talking about the thing that I think everyone in the world is talking about right now, which is Donald Trump in Helsinki. So, okay, so a couple of things off of this, but first of all, just your thoughts about what has gone down in the last 24 hours.
Okay, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, I know. Well, have you gotten the latest, which was today when he said...
Right.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I think I did. I on the way here.
Okay.
Actually,
gotcha. Yeah.
Just listening to NPR in my car on the way here from Hillsborough, and found out that basically in a Ways and Means Committee meeting or something
apparently,
this morning,
yeah.
Trump said that he instead of saying would, he should have said wouldn't that. Am I getting it backwards?
No, that's right.
Oh, at the press conference, he said he didn't see why Russia would, you know, have meddled in the elections. And then he said today that he didn't see why it wouldn't be Russia.
Yeah.
In other words, he gave more legitimacy to the American intelligence community that yesterday everybody was, you know, upset about, because he seemed to... And with his remarks, side with Vladimir Putin over American intelligence, which is just, you know, bad form. that's like the wrong.
For
you're
starters,
not on the same
right?
team.
Yeah.
You're supposed to pull for America, you know. So I hope that's the latest thing that's come out.
That is
anyway.
The latest thing so
okay.
far. Yeah.
Great.
Okay. So with all of that in mind.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. If I had the answer to that question, boy, I'd probably be a really high-paid analyst. But, I mean, I did some catching up with as far as the press conference goes, and just tried to get a little bit of a variety of opinions from different news sources. And no matter what side of the aisle you're on, and you know, Democrat or Republican, everybody's kind of thinking that Trump did a pretty bad disservice to the American intelligence community, as I mentioned, because I mean, even if you are a Trump supporter, it's very frustrating because he consistently until I guess today, said that, you know, Russians didn't attempt to meddle in the election. And, you know, because he wants everything to appear, you know, like he's, you know, a legitimate president, and I'm not saying he's not. In fact, I would say that it can be true that Russians attempted to meddle with the election and that he won the election fairly at the same time. You know, prior to today, I guess, he was trying to say that, you know, no, there's no Russian meddling, even though it's pretty obvious. You know, even if you don't want to listen to the Mueller investigation or the indictments that came out or anything there, I mean, you have companies like Facebook and Twitter that have been, presumably transparent about things that happened on their platforms. And so there is at least some kind of interference, whether it's swung the election one way or the other. Who's to say? I don't know.
Yeah. But what are you seeing on Facebook? Because I know, and I think we've talked about this before, like my Facebook feed is as left as it could get. So I don't know what... I don't know what conservatives are saying about this now, aside from, like, I've gone on Fox News and National Review, and there was a really good article on the Weekly Standard. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't see that.
Which I'm now completely blanking on, so ignore that I ever said it. But but it's real good, which, and then I completely forgot it 15 minutes after reading it. But beyond that, like...
Well, to be honest, I haven't looked at a lot of my friends' opinions on Facebook about this yet. I've just been too busy working on Saturday's event. But I think that...
It's probably all for the best. The less time on Facebook for anyone, the better.
Well, I have still been spending a lot of time on Facebook just on different things. But but otherwise, yeah, I agree with you. Mm. I would expect to see some people sharing, you know, another frustration that I have about this press conference. I mean, one commentator that I saw was making the point that, people on the left side of the political spectrum were a little upset over Trump taking a hard line against North Korea. Some people were like, oh, this is going to cause World War III. This is a disaster. He's too aggressive. And, you know, people are saying he's being friendly with Russia. So now, you know, people on the left are calling him a puppet. It's like, what will make you happy? So that was one thing. And I don't necessarily think that's very credible criticism. That's one thing I saw somebody said, but I think maybe some other folks might feel like I do, where, you know, one of the reasons that we voted for Donald Trump was because we wanted to have a strong leader on the world stage, you know, somebody that we didn't feel like was apologizing for America, which, you know, wrongly or rightly, that's how a lot of people perceived President Obama to be when he would, you know, go abroad and speak for the country. And Trump looked, I think, indisputably pretty weak next to Vladimir Putin. I mean, he seemed to make a lot of concessions. And Putin just, you know, a lot of people said his body language was, he showed that he was pretty much dominating the discussion. I don't know what kind of defenses there might be of, you know, if this is like 3D chess. You hear that about Trump a lot. It's just all part of the plan. I'm sure somebody has said that somewhere. But even on the conservative side, the media is pretty not generous.
What should conservative leaders do? Like, people are calling for like John Huntsman, who's the ambassador to Russia, to resign, or Dan Coats, or things like that. If you were in that position, that's got to be a hard choice for people.
Yeah.
Who are in that position.
I don't know what realistically can be done. I think that, you know, people have talked about sanctions or some kind of automatic penalty if it's found that Russia is meddling in elections again. You know, they're worried about the midterms and that sort of thing. I don't know if there's a way to, you know, ensure the security of the elections any better. But I feel like there could be some sort of answer that comes from Congress. I mean, that's one of the things that I would like to see is just more of in general. It's just Congress asserting itself more, because they are supposed to be the most powerful branch of our government, and it sure doesn't seem like it. It hasn't for probably decades. But I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer on what should be done with our relation with Russia.
We'll keep on track with that. We're speaking with Ashley Campbell again for the other side, and with that all in mind, and everyone talking about that, I was talking with some friends yesterday, and someone said that they had heard someone say, which is how social media conversations go, that all of this is now a distraction away from the real important issue, which is the Brett Kavanaugh nomination to the Supreme Court and the fact that that vote's coming up. So with that in mind, let's turn to the Brett Kavanaugh nomination and talk about that. Because I think here is a case where people on the left will 100% agree with you and say, yes, we want Congress to assert itself strongly in the case of Brett Kavanaugh. But what are your thoughts on the nomination? Because I don't think we've talked about the Supreme Court opening, but I don't think we've talked about the nomination since it came out.
No, I don't think we did. I am, you know, overall pleased with the nomination. I guess if I was pulling for any potential candidate on the short list, it may have been Amy Coney Barrett. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, let's have a conservative woman. That was pretty much my my thinking there, my rationale. But, you know, Brett Kavanaugh is great. I mean, me and my husband joke it sounds like a quarterback. I'm sure we're not the only people to make that joke. But, yeah, he sounds like a football player.
My elementary school was Kavanaugh, so I just can't get over that.
Oh, well, yeah, there we go. But he has a great record, you know, in my opinion. On the D.C. Circuit Court, you know, he's good on Second Amendment, on administrative law, freedom of speech, and maybe his weakness is he seems to have a lot of, you know, judicial deference for national security things like NSA tracking or data collection and things like that get a little, you know, that's kind of like big state. And
is that why
wary.
Rand Paul was speaking out?
Probably so. That probably would be a good reason why he would be concerned about Kavanaugh's record. But overall, yeah, I think he seems pretty solid. But
what sets him apart?
Oh,
like of the four finalists, because the thing that I kept hearing in sort of the initial reports was, well, they're all kind of similar in terms of decision making. And the one thing that kind of was kind of the thing that immediately came out, like as soon as Kavanaugh's nomination was announced, was, well, this is the candidate who was much more like candidate of the four finalists. This is the one who was much more deferent to shielding the president from lawsuits, right? So, like, standing against the idea that the president can be sued or have to face lawsuits while in office.
Yeah, because he did write an article, I think, that said that, you know, not everything has to be impeachable. Like, you could wait until after the president has left office to pursue, you know, certain criminal acts. If it's something, you know, like treasonous or
right,
something,
right.
Obviously, you know, national security at risk or something to deal with actual governance, then I think that he leaves room for there to be, you know, he's not saying that impeachment is off the table. But I don't know. I think that he seems pretty, as far as some of the finalists went, like Barrett, for example, not as controversial, because I think that, well, it may be because he has, decided things like, well, he set precedent for Chief Justice John Roberts to write, you know, that the Affordable Care Act individual mandate is not a penalty, it's a tax.
It's a tax instead of,
Yeah, so he was a defender of that in a lower court, and maybe also his view on the First Amendment has, you know, and favored what I would say are left-leaning causes. Like, he sided with abortion rights groups when it's challenged the FEC, for example, which, you know, I may not be supportive of the abortion rights group, but I do like the challenge to, you know, executive agencies mm-hmm. like the FEC. So,
and it was kind of decisions like that that, and sort of the reading about the four finalists and what people were saying about it prior to the announcement that Kavanaugh was the nominee, that kind of far right groups were pushing Trump to nominate anyone but Kavanaugh.
Or kind of pushing back against that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which made me really think, kind of from a political perspective, because now it's all politics, right? That Trump has nominated of those four finalists, all four of them were going to kind of galvanize liberal opposition, right? Like people on the left, Democrats, were going to be opposed to all four no matter what. And it was probably going to motivate the same level of action and motivation to the polls and things like that, regardless of which of the four nominees it was going to be. On the right, you had these four finalists, and one of them, you had the far right organization saying, don't nominate this guy. And it's the one that Trump actually did nominate, which makes the right like less likely to be galvanized as a result of this nomination for political purposes. And the only thing that made Kavanaugh stand out that I know of was, well, this is someone who is deferent to the president when it comes to lawsuits and things like that, which to me says more about Trump's culpability or non-culpability than anything he said yesterday in Helsinki with Putin standing there. Like, that to me suggests that he's actually legit worried about lawsuits or revelations coming out. I could have gotten through yesterday and said, well, okay, he just bumbled his way through that press conference and there's nothing kind of shadowy or shady. But the Kavanaugh nomination, I'm like, wow, he really is concerned about this. But that's only true if there's nothing else about Kavanaugh that makes him stand out. So what else is there?
I mean, that's an interesting point. I don't know where the rest of the Supreme Court would come down on that.
Also true.
Topic.
Yeah.
But so he may be vastly outnumbered on that point. But he, as you said, I mean, he wasn't a favorite of, you know, extremely conservative groups for things like, you know, siding with the pro-abortion mm-hmm. rights and not taking a firm enough stance on, you know, being anti-abortion mm-hmm. because. I mean, that may not make everybody happy, you know, as, of course, he's done a lot of things to make people on the left not happy as well. But he is, you know, just trying to, I feel, from what I can tell of his, you know, my brief experience reading over his record of upholding the law, you know, and not pulling policy out of the Constitution that is not really there. He would not, you know, be someone who would support the idea of a living Constitution. That doesn't make him different from the other four.
Yeah.
So that's not an answer to that question.
So we gotta wrap up in a second, but people if you're listening to this on the radio, you can't see this, but Ashley's got like significant amount of research that she's brought in. So things about Kavanaugh, things about Kavanaugh as we're wrapping up that people don't know that people ought to know.
Oh, that people don't know. Well, although he is largely a friend of the Second Amendment, he's not perfect, I would say, because I do like that he seems to liken a ban on a class of guns, say like semi-automatic handguns, to a ban on a class of speech. Like this is in the DC versus Heller part two decision, I think. You know, he would say that banning semi-automatic handguns is like banning newspapers, because, you know, Washington, D.C. was trying to say, well, people can just get their news from another kind of source. They can just have another type of gun. So that's an interesting way to approach that. But he wouldn't get rid of all sorts of restrictions on gun ownership. Like, he's actually not a fan of registries, but he's not an enemy of licensing systems for firearms, which, you know, some people in the gun community are not, wouldn't be in favor of. So he's not just going to, like, you know, release all of the gun control measures that are in place right now. He's not that extreme. I don't think he's extreme at all. Maybe that's what some people don't know. So
all right.
That's all, though.
We'll hear more. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.